For the first time in its near 100-year history, the Federal Reserve really opens up.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Under court order, the Federal Reserve has released 25,000 pages of bank names and secret information the central bank has never before let the public see. The release shows which banks borrowed money from the Fed's so-called discount window during the height of the financial crisis. Matt Winkler is editor-in-chief of Bloomberg News, the organization that filed suit under the Freedom of Information Act to get that data. Matt, good morning.
Good morning.
What are we going to learn at the end of the day from all of this? I mean, give me sort of a broad perspective of what kind of information, what kind of knowledge we're going to have after we look at all of these pages.
We're going to find out who was most in need and when, and how those needs were met by the Federal Reserve during this period.
Now, you all at Bloomberg fought to see these names. Why didn't the banks want this information public?
Suffice it to say that the lender of last resort is the Federal Reserve. The discount window is where this lending takes place. We went through an unprecedented financial crisis, and in that period, all kinds of financial institutions, banks mostly, sought the assistance of the Federal Reserve through the discount window. And given that this was such a momentous period in American history, and the Federal Reserve is, after all, the bank of the people of the United States, it's so important for all of us to know what was the Fed doing with your money and mine, and with which institutions, and what were the details.
You know, it's interesting to me that the Fed is so secretive in its ways anyway. Does this, do you think, change the way the Fed operates? I mean, are we going to see more of this?
I think it's a wonderful day for this country that we are at the point now where the courts have said what is done with our money by the central bank is a matter of concern for all of us. And for the first time, we are the beneficiaries of this judgment.
Matt Winkler, editor-in-chief of Bloomberg News. Matt, thank you.
My pleasure.
Let's do the numbers. Markets are basically flat right now. The S&P and NASDAQ each down about a tenth of a percent, just a fraction of a percent. The Dow lower now by 4 points at 12,346. Oil is back up to more than nearing $106 a barrel in trading after forces loyal to Muammar Gaddafi seized an important Libyan oil port today. Hershey said its food costs have gone up, so the price of its chocolate will as well. The government said today first-time jobless claims fell by 6,000 last week. Also word that there was a drop in factory orders in February, with the government cutting demand for communications equipment and military aircraft. Meanwhile, a couple of the newest planes on the market may never have been built without unfair government subsidies. That's what the World Trade Organization said in a ruling today. Now, last year, it was Europe's big manufacturer, Airbus, that was accused of getting government subsidies for its next-generation plane. Well, today's WTO decision says Chicago-based Boeing also got unfair government help. From London, here's the BBC's Rebecca Singer.
The US and EU have been fighting for almost 6 years over support they gave to Boeing or Airbus. Last year, the World Trade Organization ruled that the European Union paid illegal subsidies to Airbus's parent company EADS to help it build the A380 Super Jumbo jet. João Vela de Almeida, the European Union's ambassador to the US, says today's WTO ruling clearly shows that US subsidies helped Boeing launch a new plane of its own.
The report is clear in saying that if these subsidies did not exist, Boeing would not have been able to launch the 787.
But Boeing, the maker of the long-delayed 787 Dreamliner, insists that all US support was above board. And US Trade Representative Ron Kirk says the amount Boeing currently receives is minuscule compared to the European support Airbus has received over the years. In London, I'm the BBC's Rebecca Singer for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, insuring more than 75 million customers worldwide and providing retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S., AllianzUSA.com. By Chevrolet, undertaking a carbon-reducing effort, investing in projects like wind farms and planting trees across America over the next few years. ChevyCarbonReduction.com. And by LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733.
A lot of companies track your clicks as you browse their websites, but a group of tech developers wants to create a program that can track your emotions. The group is meeting in San Francisco this week, and Marketplace's Silicon Valley reporter Steve Henn reports.
Rosalind Picard is a scientist at MIT's Media Lab and the co-founder of a startup called Effectiva. The company is teaching computers to recognize human emotions. The idea is to give online marketers a sense of how shoppers are responding to their products or pitches.
One way to think about it is, hey, if you were in our store, we'd be able to see, like, if you were looking confused or interested or like you needed help.
But if you're shopping online or streaming a video, the company on the other end of those wires doesn't know if you're amused, annoyed, or bored, or on the verge of closing the deal. So Picard and Effectiva created a web app that can watch you while you surf, a computer that tracks human emotions through a webcam.
If you're willing to turn on your webcam and let us see that, we'll try to offer you better service.
Successful salespeople know how to read their customers. Soon, they could let computers do it for them. In Silicon Valley, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
And finally, a small group of New York State employees won the Mega Millions jackpot, $319 million, which, when you factor in taxes and everything else, equates to about $16 million each. It would have been less had one man who normally goes in on the pool not decided to back out at the last minute. The unidentified guy was asked twice to play the lotto, but he said he didn't feel very lucky. You know what? He's absolutely right. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
The Obama administration wants to win the future, so it set up a new government agency to handle that.
The highway of government programs here is littered with carcasses of programs that were ill-conceived or ill-implemented, where large amounts of money have gone to firms, but very little innovation has come out of it.
I'm Kai Rizdal. The fate of innovation lies in the hands of governments. The story next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.